Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've done nothing!
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for checking in with us. Appreciate having you around. Hello, Jason.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello, Kareem.
I'm back.
Yes, yes, we is. We is back for another episode of fun. You may not have heard about this, but DMX is free.
All right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I have something I called Meanwhile in New Hampshire.
They got some great sour cream.
Plus, Tom Brokaw apologizes to Hispanics.
Oh, my God.
It's true. And it's still Black History Month. So, no blackface.
At least for 1 month, white people, come on.
I think that falls under our overarching policy of don't be an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, just because you don't realize you're being an asshole does not mean you are being an asshole.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Because I don't think most people intend to be assholes. There are some that just intend to be assholes.
There are some.
There are some, but what
I just tell it like it is. Nope. You're an asshole.
You're an asshole. Hey, this person said this thing about you and I just thought you should know.
Asshole. I just thought you should know. No. No, 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 no. Before I go on, I want to mention, of course, if you want to listen to the podcast in a little different way, we are now on Spotify. So just go ahead and search Nate Darling Show on Spotify, and we will be there, and you will be able to listen to the shows. What's weird is there seems to be a bit of a delay in getting up to Spotify, as I've noticed with the new podcast, Morning Crunch Wrap. Although that shouldn't affect us that much because I post the shows the evening before. So they'll be there for you the next morning on Spotify. Or you can just download them like you always have been, listen on the website, whatever. But it's another way for you to listen to the show, maybe at work with your earbuds in or whatever else you'd like to do. Also, please check out the Morning Crunch Wrap. It's not this show. It's just me. And it's every morning I get up and I make coffee and I search through Twitter and other places for whatever catches my eye and do about a 5 to 10 minute podcast breaking down what the story is and what it really means. So, one of the things that we did on February 1st, we started Black History Month on the Morning Crunch Wrap podcast with Al Roker calling Matt Bevin, the governor of Kentucky, a quote, nitwit governor. So sometimes it's that. On Monday, this past Monday, the story was e-scooters are coming. E-scooters are coming.
Yes.
In fact, they're dropping, much like this show, today.
Boom.
Today, allegedly.
They'll be dropping down the streets of Sacramento.
they just dropped a recharging station at the mart by my house. So like five bikes right there.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, it's not a recharging station, is it? It's just they park.
No, it's a recharging station.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Any of those stations that they have that are metal like that have that, like, those are all recharging stations for the jump bikes.
So what's the over under on somebody suing the company for hurting themselves on a scooter in the next three months.
I don't know how many people have done that statewide because the scooters have been, different variants of the scooters are operating all over the place. Lime is one company, Bird is another.
So this is I trust my wife when it comes to certain things because she's a very, very intelligent woman. And she said that these companies can't sustain themselves with the cost of what they're costing to do, you know, I mean, what they charge. She said this is all just a data grab. This is all them just trying to get as much transportation information about how people are moving and going about cities and stuff like that, and like so they can sell the data. Like, that's what the big play is here, she said, with it. They're selling data that has nothing to do, like, because they're not making any money on these bikes. And she's like, there's no way they can't. It's not sustainable.
Go okay.
I'm just saying, no, but
I don't think she's wrong.
No, but anyhow, so I don't think they're going anywhere. I think we're gonna keep seeing stuff like this.
Data, you know, is money. Yeah. Well, the reason that they're able to do this, they've already got the jump bike infrastructure in place.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they've already got a headquarters. In fact, the warehouse where they live is here in West Sacramento.
Makes sense.
So they've got the space over here in West Sac. The bikes have been here only since May. I thought it was longer, but I think it was a different bike company before that that was here. But the scooters, I love riding those damn things when I go to San Jose. So I am super stoked to be able to have that, because there is a rack not far from our house here.
Cool.
So you're allegedly supposed to leave them there. You're not supposed to leave them on the sidewalk, but you're supposed to put the bikes back at the racks too, or lock them to something. And I have neighbors who leave them parked in the street.
Oh, I see one on the corner on the way here.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time. Sometimes they don't lock them. They just put the U-lock in on the side. Yeah. So it's registered as locked, but it's not actually locked to anything.
Luckily, those bikes are so heavy that you cannot ride them.
I believe within the first week, they had one go missing, and they GPS tracked it to the middle of the river.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that did happen, but hey, they found it. I haven't ridden a jump bike yet.
I have. A couple times.
I foresee a lot more of that in my future, specifically if we get a certain venture up and rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because parking is expensive.
No, and honestly, the monthly subscription to that is so inexpensive. And
is it less than $125?
Way.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that's how much a parking space is.
Yeah. And not only that, but it also is, I like it. Like when I saw they put in that charging station across the street from my house, I was like kind of excited because.
Sure.
A, that means less ones that are going to be around my house that are just left unattended, because they give you an incentive to put them back.
Right.
Like you get charged less money by turning it back to a rack.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when you turn it back to the rack, you get sometimes, especially if it's on a low battery, if you can find one that's on half battery and then take it back to a rack, you actually get a credit for it sometimes.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I mean, it's pretty, so I'm super excited because I can ride from my house to downtown, in 20 minutes, maybe kind of sweating a little tiny bit.
They're electric assist pedaling.
Yeah, yeah. So you go so fast. I mean, you still have to pedal, so you still can work up a little bit of a sweat, but it's not this. I mean, you're getting there quick.
Right.
Really quick.
Yeah. It's really expensive to park, and that's the thing. Downtown is expensive to park.
Yeah.
And if you can find a place that's a little bit out to park, you're probably going to pay less or nothing. Or if you live somewhere close enough by, then you're not going to have to. I can literally walk to the jump bike station from here.
Yeah.
It's less than a quarter mile. So that's fun. That's the morning crunch wrap. It's a lot of different news stories. It's whatever caught my eye. One morning it was, the recall of chicken nuggets with rubber bits in them. And I sleuthed out what those little blue rubber bits were. So it's not just me telling you the story. I bring a little something to it. Oh, and one thing, I'll bring this up because we have talked about this on the show. Rand Paul, remember he was attacked by his neighbor?
Yeah.
And he's going to Canada to get his hernia surgery. He was awarded over $500,000 in damages. Of that, only about $7,800 were his medical bills. And then the rest of it, it's $300,000+ for pain and suffering. And then I forget what the other one was for.
How much was it? For 500 and what?
$580,000, I think.
So you know why it's that much money, right?
Because they can.
Insurance, yeah. It became an insurance.
Lawyers
and getting the insurance company for, the guy probably had a personal umbrella because of the neighborhood he lives in. So he probably had $1 million of personal injury liability coverage. So they're we'll hit him for as much as we can possibly. And nobody lost any money in that except the insurance companies and the normal people that pay more money for their insurance now.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Because that gets spread around.
$580,000 in damages.
Yeah.
Follow the Morning Crunch Wrap on Facebook, because I will post a link to the story I talk about every day there. And then on the weekend, when nonsense stories pop up, I might post one, but I am not doing a podcast on the weekend. $375,000 in punitive damages, $200,000 for pain and suffering, and $7,834 for medical expenses.
Wow.
That's some bullshit. That's some bullshit.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, check out the Morning Crunch Wrap. Follow, like the page on Facebook. There will be fun content for you. It will be stuff that you did not spot yourself, and it will be worth the 5 to 10 minutes of your day. Or your money back, because it's free. And it's also on Spotify.
You're just going to ask for my money back.
Yeah. Go get your money back. All right. So let's get into this thing. I need to ask you guys a question. Are you down with AOC?
Yeah.
No.
Kareem is not down with AOC. Well, she took a seat in her first committee this past week, and she got to ask some questions of the pharmaceutical industry. Here's well, that's some music. I mean, hold on, let me get rid of that. Ah, I don't know what's happening. Boy, that's I've won a 30-second smile assessment. How did that happen? Yes, close all tabs. Thank you. Go away. It's off to a rousing start, isn't it, gentlemen? All right, let's take a listen to this questioning.
Would it be correct, Dr. Kesselheim, to characterize the NIH money that is being used in development and research as an early investment?
Yes.
So the public is acting as an early investor in the production of these drugs. Is the public receiving any sort of direct return on that investment from the highly profitable drugs that are developed from that research?
No, in most cases, there isn't. When those products are eventually handed off to a for-profit company, there aren't licensing deals that bring money back into the coffers of the NIH. That usually doesn't happen.
So the public is acting as early investor, putting tons of money in the development of drugs that then become privatized, and then they receive no return on the investment that they have made.
Right.
You know why we have to charge so much for these drugs? It's all the money that we spend on research.
No.
Except it's not. That's first day at work stuff.
They're like an NFL franchise. You get a public funded park and everything, and the only thing the public gives back possibly is concession money.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But they're going to pay for the concessions.
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty good first day on the job.
Yes.
That was good information for the public to have and understand.
Here's the fun thing that I found out about her. First of all, she scares the hell out of middle-aged white guys.
Well, that's because they're setting her up as a boogeyman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is she's a Republican talking point.
Yeah, absolutely. But instead of just hanging back and taking it, she punches back at every turn. Because the only thing she talks about, she's done her homework on.
Yeah.
She doesn't just pop off about things randomly. She's got all of her shit together. So when they come back at her for something, she's already got her argument lined up and knocks them right back down.
Yeah.
Which is why, at the very least, I think you gotta respect her.
I need to see more.
Yeah, I mean, it's still very early on.
Yeah.
But, Saw the Michael Moore documentary, Fahrenheit 11/9.
Mm, yeah. I haven't watched that yet.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's on Amazon Prime.
I know that it's in my watch list, so I just haven't watched it yet.
I don't want to be depressed. If
if you don't have Prime, the shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. There are moments of hope. There are moments of glimmers of hope, but I learned several things, particularly about Flint and what went on there.
Yeah.
And how it happened. because unless you really dug into it, you got like this weird thumbnail of it, and you could dig in further, but it was like, oh, okay, this, and ultimately you go on with your life and don't really think about it. But part of that film was highlighting people like her and the, her name is escaping me, the representative from Michigan who yelled impeach Trump.
I'm going to impeach the motherfucker. Yeah,
impeach the motherfucker. He highlighted candidates like that. He highlighted someone who was challenging an established Democrat in Colorado who got Steny Hoyer on mic telling him he needed to get out of the race and that he didn't understand how things were done. And he's like, but the voters get to decide that. Well, we've already decided who, and this is how it's done. And it's like, yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. And I think that was a lot of the backlash against Hillary, was the idea that, and you can say fuck Bernie Sanders all you want, and you're entitled to that, but part of the idea of the backlash against Hillary Clinton from people who were moderate or undecided was this idea that the Democratic Party had just essentially preordained, it's Hillary is our nominee, fuck all y'all. And they highlighted at the convention where state after state after state that Bernie Sanders won, they pledged their delegates to Hillary Clinton. And that, as a voter, is infuriating because it's like my vote doesn't count.
Right. And again, as I said before, that's totally fine. I don't have a problem with Bernie being a candidate, but if Bernie wants to be a candidate, Bernie needs to be an independent candidate. Bernie needs to run as an independent.
Right. The problem with Bernie as an independent, though, is Bernie is an independent, and this is why I'm guessing this is why he didn't run as an independent. He is going to split the liberal vote if he runs it as an independent, the same way Ross Perot split the conservative vote
right
when Clinton won.
But he still ended up doing that anyway.
Not really.
Because you had a lot of Bernie bros that sat out.
Well, I understand they sat out, but he did endorse Clinton.
He said he endorsed Clinton. He had done so much damage by the time that you got to the point where he endorsed Clinton, and I don't really consider what he did endorsing Clinton, that a lot of people dropped out.
Yeah, but that's going to happen in any primary race.
No, not primary race. A lot of people dropped out of voting, period.
No. I understand that, but you're talking about the damage that led up to that. That's just the primary race.
That's how the Republicans normally do the primary race. The Democrats usually don't tear each other down to the point where you're not going to support whatever candidate is the candidate.
I think for a lot of people, Bernie Sanders represented this sort of different idea of we actually want to do stuff for the people, and Hillary Clinton represented this old guard Democratic money, give speeches to Wall Street. And when the hope, Barack Obama was elected twice on hope, when the hope went away, a lot of those people did not vote. I supported Bernie Sanders. When he dropped out, I said, you know what? Here are our choices. We can vote for, we can vote for the pencil dicked hobgoblin, or we can vote for Hillary Clinton. I don't love Hillary Clinton, but of these two choices, it's really clear to me who would be a better option to be running the free world. It's disappointing that people would not do the same thing, to go, okay, so we've come down to, here are our choices at the school cafeteria. You can either have the dried out pizza or the boiled hot dog.
I'm not eating.
I'm going to go outside and throw rocks at windows.
Yes. Yeah, and I know people that did that.
I do too.
And I
don't care for them.
Yeah. No, yeah. I have a friend that did that, and I told him, I was like, it's nice that you have the option. He was white, of course. I was like, it's nice that you had the option of opting out because you think that shit doesn't affect you, but the shit is going to affect all of us.
Right. Now I will say the people that I know that did it, live in California, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody who lives in Ohio or Pennsylvania or Michigan, those things made a difference.
Yeah.
And a little made a big difference in some of those places.
Yeah, because he only won by, 78,000 votes?
Yeah, if you total up the whole thing, he did not win by any votes. He lost the popular vote by 3 million. But yeah, in a lot of those states like Michigan, it was next to nothing.
Yeah.
It was next to nothing. So yeah, it was bullshit, but.
And even tonight, the fact that, you know, they had set up Stacey Abrams to do the speech after
the response to it.
Oh, well, watch Stacey Abrams, but I'm going to do my speech like I've done the last 3 years on Facebook and like, fuck you, man. Go somewhere and sit your dumb ass down. it's like the white guy thing that you can't just let somebody else do something. And you not have a say in it. That's like him and Schultz and like, the billionaire from New York is smart enough to know that he just needs to not be involved.
Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah. Bloomberg is smart enough and aware enough to know, okay, I need to sit out so that I don't cause trouble to get this motherfucker reelected again.
Well, here's the thing about Bloomberg, and people ask that. Well, why would you be sort of okay with Bloomberg, but not okay with Howard Schultz? Well, Michael Bloomberg was mayor of New York.
Yeah.
He's actually held a public position.
Yeah.
So he does have an understanding of how government works, whereas Howard Schultz knows how to sell coffee.
Yeah.
And burnt coffee.
And running New York is like running the state.
Yeah.
You have, he probably has a higher security clearance than most governors in the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially
since 9/11.
Yeah.
And I think something like 60% of the tax base for New York comes from the five boroughs.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Not shit in the rest of the state.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's like, so, like, yeah. I mean, like, he manages, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like I said, Bernie can run, but run as a fucking independent. Don't bring your ass inside the Democratic Party if you're not.
I'm really hoping that we can get a crop of people under 70 to run for president.
I agree with you there. Yeah.
I would like for our next president to not be old enough to collect Social Security. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Yes.
I want someone young and vibrant and who knows their ass from a hole in the ground.
Yes.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Ashton Kutcher 2020.
Kutcher 2020.
Yeah, I've actually read some stuff on that guy. It doesn't seem like he's that bad of a person.
he has put his celebrity and efforts towards some causes. So.
He's a smart dude.
I know. I've seen dudes Where's My Car.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't have to tell me.
Yeah. No, I think he got an MIT, or he was smart enough to get an MIT, if I'm not mistaken. But
he was smart enough to come up with Punk'd.
But yeah, I mean, he was. He made a shitload. Well, that was he made money when nobody else was making money besides their one that cast. So,
Dax Shepard did pretty well by it.
Yeah, he did too. Like
that.
The fact that Dax Shepard has a career. Yeah.
Dax Shepard has a career because of Punk'd.
Yeah.
Because he was the actor in season one that nobody knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's funny. Think about that.
Speaking of Hollywood, well, CBS has ordered a drama pilot titled Frankenstein.
Oh, no.
Yep. The latest and very loose adaptation of Mary Shelley's classic novel.
Very loose.
Very loose. Follows a San Francisco homicide detective who is mysteriously brought back to life after being killed in the line of duty.
Alrighty then.
But resumes his old life, and he and his wife realize he isn't the same person he used to be. They zero in on the strange man behind his resurrection, Dr. Victor Frankenstein. Awesome. So it's a Detective Frankenstein drama brought to you by the writer that brought you Burn Notice and Elementary.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed Burn Notice.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad show.
There you go. So that's who's behind
all
it.
Right.
So I thought, you know, let's get a sneak peek for everybody what this new Detective Frankenstein show would be like. So Kareem, you can jump in if it makes sense. But Jason and I will be doing a scene. We'll be at the station house, and I will be Detective Frankenstein.
Okay.
And you're going to be the sergeant.
All now, right.
So let's begin.
God damn it, Frankenstein! I told you to go out there and make some arrests. I didn't tell you to blow up half of San Francisco. No, I will not calm down. Fucking, have you seen what's gone on? The Moscone Center is leveled. No, don't give me that shit. Now, you barely even got one bust, all right? Now, what I need you to go out there and do, I need you to go out there and make a fucking arrest on this issue. Oh, don't you give me no back talk. Fancy.
So that's one way it could go.
Yeah.
That's one way I could go. I think that would be fun. I would love to. I miss having Mel around. I would love to do the scene between Frankenstein and his wife.
Well, maybe that's the thing. He's turned out. No, never mind.
This is when I figure out what we're off. But that may not be the way they play it. They may not be quite that on the nose.
Right.
So let's try that scene again.
God damn it, Frankenstein. I told you to go out there and make an arrest, not blow up half San Francisco.
But, Sergeant, I was just doing my best out there. I don't really know what happened.
You leveled half of the Moscone Center, and you didn't even get the arrest.
Listen, I'm getting this interference. This bolt on my neck keeps getting caught on my collar. It's very distracting.
I don't give two rat's asses about bolts on your neck. What I wanted is an arrest.
I think, does this look infected to you?
Yeah, it does look a little, why don't you clock out a little early today? Go get that checked out.
We'll see you tomorrow. See, so it could be done that way, too.
Could be that way, too.
Could be that way, too. So, it's only a pilot, so, it's going to be under consideration for next season's primetime lineup. I really hope Betsy Sidero, our friend, gets in the show.
Oh.
I want to see her in a dramatic role.
Oh, my gosh. You know, she did a semi-dramatic scene. There's a show that was on Comedy Central for a while, just one season, called Hollywood, Florida, I think is what it was. Mm-hmm. And she was on, like, some of the last episodes of the season, and she had this, it was pretty hilarious.
I would like to see her and Jessica Wellington.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to see people I know on primetime TV. And
did you see she was in Mule?
I did.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Mule. I saw...
What's Mule?
That's the Clint Eastwood movie where he's an 88-year-old driver who has a threesome. John Mulaney and Pete Davidson.
Wow.
Did a bit on Weekend Update a few weeks ago where they talk about going to see the Mule. I encourage you to look it up.
It was, who was it? Paul Davidson and...
Pete Davidson and John Mulaney.
Awesome.
John Mulaney. So, keep looking up. I didn't realize this, and I even worked for a Fox station. In 2015, Fox developed a drama called Frankenstein. They retitled the show The Frankenstein Code, and then they retitled it to Looking Glass. And then they called it Second Chance. Yeah. Two other pilots at CBS Order that sound just as great are The Republic of Sarah, which is about a small New Hampshire town. That's the only kind of town they have there. Thrust into the world stage when the discovery of a valuable resource within its borders compels the residents to declare themselves an independent nation. Oh, fuck off.
Sounds like The Mouse That Roared, but as a TV show.
Oh, another person, another part of the mind trust from Elementary is behind that one. And the other pilot is titled Courthouse, which is about a courthouse.
So like Night Court.
Da, da, da. keep, there, no wonder they're America's most watched network.
I don't.
We don't deserve better. We don't deserve a better president.
all right, so the Red Sox won the World Series, the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and Mookie Betts is not going to the White House with the Red Sox. Mookie says, nah. According to the Boston Globe, he was asked about the trip, which is scheduled for May now, and he reportedly said, quote, I won't be going there, I decided not to. He didn't elaborate beyond that, but he joins at least one other Red Sox player skipping it. That would be third baseman Rafael Devers, who said he'd also be a no-show. For what it's worth, Betts is the American League MVP. He is probably the best player on the Red Sox roster. So, kind of a big deal that one of those guys doesn't want to go. But, and there are apparently three other Red Sox players on the fence. They were supposed to go in February, but the government was closed.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they didn't want some Big Macs and quarter pounders.
The government was shut down, so they delayed it. So we'll see. Meanwhile, in going to visit the president news, the Golden State Warriors, who also said, nah, to Trump, actually said, well, you know what? Let's go see Obama.
That's what one of the safeties for the Patriots said.
Yep. Well, the Warriors have already done it. They met with Obama and Nancy Pelosi, which, you know, if Trump gets impeached and they run Pence out of town too, she's the president.
Yes.
Don't forget that. So here,
betting on that.
So here's a photo of Obama and the Warriors. He looks so tiny.
He does.
So tiny in the middle of all those large men. Where are the white people at? Oh, wait. It's an NBA team. There aren't any. Where's Steve Kerr?
That's what I was going to say. Steve Kerr. Where's he at?
They met with President Obama at his Washington, D.C. office and then posed for the group photo. Not clear what they all talked about, but after the game, Durant told the media it was amazing. Draymond Green described the meeting to Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, a private team meeting, team event. It was good. So, Durant had previously told TMZ Sports, and I quote, we don't fuck with Trump. They do, however, like Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House not only attended the Warriors-Wizards game on Thursday, she also met with players after the game, including Draymond. So,
she met with Draymond?
She met with Draymond. That's crazy, right? Although a lot of those people are her constituents. They live right in her, in her district. All right. So Tom Brokaw. It's like being an anchor at NBC brings bad things to you.
Oh, poor Tom.
Poor Tom. He's offering, what TMZ calls a half-ass apology for going on national TV and expressing some xenophobic thoughts on the Hispanic community. The news anchor was on Meet the Press with a group of panelists who were discussing what it would take to unite the country. The convo weirdly went from the U.S. standing up to Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro to Brokaw offering his take on how the GOP is grappling with the rising Latinx electorate.
Right? Like it's, and a lot of this we don't want to talk about, but the fact is, on the Republican side, a lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary important new constituency in American politics, Hispanics, who will come here and all be Democrats. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time, you know, that they ought not to be just codified in their communities, but make sure that all their kids are learning to speak English and that they feel comfortable in the communities. And that's going to take outreach on both sides, frankly.
And
like, seriously, Tom, come on. You're so fucking out of touch, dude. Just step away, man. Step away and stay away. Like, seriously, like, don't bring your fucking.
On Twitter, he apologized, saying, I feel terrible. Part of my comment on Hispanics offended some members of that proud culture.
It's not even a fuck. Some. He's like, so, like, he, like, if it's some, like, there's some people that are totally fine with it.
I'm sorry if you were offended by the things I said.
Well, considering he doesn't really know Hispanics because there's a lot of them that have assimilated.
And there's that's what I'm saying. That's what he doesn't know.
And there's a lot of them
that are Republicans.
Who are Republicans.
Yes. There are a lot of them that are passing for white.
And there's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I'm
remember
not,
the
I'm
Viva
not.
The Viva Bush bumper stickers?
Yes.
Those were put on vehicles.
Yeah. And I know plenty of Hispanics that are.
There are a lot of Hispanics that are passing.
And they're Republican through and through.
Yes.
Wearing khakis.
Wearing khakis.
Khakis,
yes.
And dark socks.
Yes.
With their hard shoes.
There's a lot of Hispanics passing.
EJ's wife, Trisha, her parent, her dad.
Yeah.
Chilean.
Yeah.
A lot of he's public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's apologized. Oh, he's got to be 150 now.
Yeah. I mean, it's really like.
It's like, Tom, do you not know any Hispanic people? Because, yeah, because if you know. If
look,
you know
I was talking to my friends, and they don't know if they want any brown grandpapers.
That's true. That part's true.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
That part's real.
That's talk for the fucking home. Keep that talk at the home. Don't bring it on TV.
Or if you're talking about it on TV, you better talk about how it's fucking horrible and these people are terrible people. Like, you don't say it like, you know, like, and then follow that up. You don't say that and then follow it up with, they don't assimilate enough into the. Like, I've been saying this for years.
For years. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, man. You just don't
assimilate more.
You don't get to say shit like that. You don't get to, like, the only way you say shit like that is when you say, like, you know what, man? Like, people don't want brown, like, racist white people don't want brown babies. Yeah. That's the only acceptable way to say it.
Listen, every time I go to Taco Bell, it's nothing but brown people not assimilating.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't been to the Folsom Taco Bell.
There's the only not going there. Not gonna get baited into that. Not gonna get baited into Folsom so white talk. I mean, it is, but I'm not getting baited into it. All right, Joe Montana, is he the greatest of all time? Is Tom Brady the greatest of all time?
I'd give it to Joe Montana over Tom Brady.
Well, he's in the weed business now. What do you think?
Yeah, he's definitely the greatest of all time.
He knows. Joe knows.
The 62-year-old Joe Montana is one of the major investors in a company called Caliva, a major legal marijuana operation out of San Jose. They not only grow weed, but they also sell everything from joints to vape pens and even marijuana beverages. Montana started a venture fund back in 2015 when they were seeking investors for a $75 million round of funding. Their CEO, Dennis O'Malley, issued a statement saying the company plans on opening retail stores in major cities in 2019. He added, "What we're trying to do is be the number one brand in California. We believe it's where the global brands are made."
Man.
I don't know if that's what Dennis O'Malley talks like, but.
Them motherfuckers.
The fucking rich white people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, cause.
Yeah. Cause they can't, nobody else can afford to get into the business.
No, well, not just that, but, the Native Americans were trying to get into business and they got fucking raided.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they.
Okay, they're on federal lands, right?
Yeah, we're on federal. Well, no, it's their land.
It's their land.
No, they are their own nation.
They're their own nation.
But
this right here, there was their business model and they got raided.
Man, fuck that shit.
Well, they tried to be early adopters.
Yeah.
And that's when they got raided.
That's like in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, fuck. Like, so. it's pretty fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Like one of the things I watched that the Murder Mountain.
Yeah.
And, like, it's pretty fucking ridiculous how they're just, like, it is just being driven into being a highly commercial, like, industry where nobody except people with hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be able to get into it because, like, and I was reading, actually, I was talking to this one guy, like, what it costs just to open up a place.
Yeah.
Like, even if you had a place, how much it costs to convert your place into being acceptable. Like, you're talking like 200, 300 grand. And that's not money that you just have lying around because guess what? You can't keep your money in a bank.
No.
Because it could get taken, you know. So, like, you're fucked. Like, the people that have been doing it are all fucked because they had no way to buy this, to put the money into it. So much so that, and now, after they've driven all these people out of business, what are they doing? What are they doing after they drove all these people out of business?
They don't give it to rich white guys.
Well, no, not just that, but they're lowering the tax too.
Yeah.
They're lowering it from 17 to 11%. Like, it's just fucking ridiculous.
Well, that's why the bread store is becoming the weed store, man.
Yeah, that was the plan.
By the way, I'm the J Street corridor in there, man. You've got Goldfeld's the bar. Then you got BevMo to get your alcohol. Then you're going to have the weed store, which was the bread store. And then you got Streets of London Pub.
Yeah.
And then you got the Sacramento Comedy Spot 2 blocks down.
Once you're good and inebriated, everything will be funny.
Yep. There you go.
You'll be an asshole in the crowd.
you'll be that dude. This is an improv show. It's not a stand-up show.
go to the Sacramento Comedy Spot and be that dude.
Or chick.
The chick can be that dude.
Yeah, you're right.
How dare you? Meanwhile, a 15-year-old student apparently tripping on LSD groped the breasts of 3 school staffers and tried to strangle a nurse with her stethoscope while yelling, "I'm an Avenger!"
Nice.
That's according to police, who charged the juvenile with an assortment of crimes, including assault and gross sexual imposition. The teenager's meltdown, cops say, occurred at Liberty High School in Liberty Township, just outside of Youngstown, Ohio.
Of course.
The Florida of the North. The student first grabbed the female teacher's breast roughly in a painful manner, prompting her to scream for help while telling the boy, "Do not touch me!" The teen then fled the building. They have a picture of the building in the article. But it was brought back inside by a school resource officer. After mumbling about big tits and making incoherent comments... Not okay. The student then pushed a school secretary against the wall and grabbed her breasts and buttocks, saying, and I quote, "Come here, bitch," before pawing the woman. As the resource officer struggled to handcuff the student, he lunged at the school's principal and aggressively groped her breasts, as first reported by WKBN's Chelsea Simeon. The student was eventually placed in the rear of the police cruiser, where he licked the vehicle's windows and kicked through a partition window. The student, who told paramedics he had taken LSD, later claimed the hallucinogenic was provided to him by his dog.
Of course it was.
The dog gave him LSD.
Of course.
While being examined at Youngstown Hospital, the teen began yelling, "I'm an Avenger!" and allegedly tried to strangle a female nurse with a stethoscope. Earlier, he had yelled, "Big dick and big tits" at police officers. By the way, if you're listening on Spotify, I hope you've got your earbuds in at work. The student was subsequently transported to a local juvenile center, where he was detained on assault, vandalism, resisting arrest, and gross sexual imposition charges. The teen's vaping device was seized by cops and sent to a police lab to be tested for any possible narcotics.
LSD.
All right, so let me crunch wrap this story for you.
Okay.
So this is a really bad story about drugs and teenagers on drugs. It's also a thought about how deep in our most utter subconscious we have objectified women to the point where at any level of inebriation we objectify them and turn them into just tits and ass, tits and ass, tits and ass. But here is the part that you're missing. Why the fuck did this resource officer bring this asshole back into the building before he handcuffed him?
That is a good question.
He's already assaulted one person. Why don't you have your person under control before you bring him back inside amongst other people?
That is the question.
And that is your morning crunch wrap. See, that's how the show works.
Yeah,
so let's talk about the story and what's going on, the stuff you might have missed and where it breaks down. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. School resource officer, what are you doing?
Kids have been taking LSD for decades and doing stupid shit.
You know he's tripping balls. He's already assaulted one person. Why are you bringing him inside around other people when he's not restrained?
He's tripping balls and grabbing tits.
Exactly. Hey, stole your catchphrase, Kareem. All right. Meanwhile in New Hampshire... While stopped at a red light, a New Hampshire motorist was living his best life, smoking crack cocaine and being filleted by a woman in the passenger seat.
Sounds like that is
the best life.
That's on a Tuesday. That's not a bad Tuesday, I guess.
No, it was the best day until it was the worst day.
That's right, until Manchester police detective spotted Michael Duville, 51, behind the wheel of his Chrysler 300, or as some people would call it, the Fentley, stopped at an intersection. Duville, a Nashua resident, was engaged in illegal acts. When two detectives approached the vehicle and identified themselves, Duville sped off. He was subsequently apprehended by a third cop. His passenger, however, fled the area and was not located. He was arrested on several charges, including lewdness, narcotics possession, and disobeying a police officer. But he's free on bond. Oh, this will surprise everyone. He was convicted in Florida.
Of course.
In 2016 on a misdemeanor theft charge and ordered to pay $370 in fines and costs.
Like, why didn't you stop? Motherfucker, I was trying to finish.
This is New Hampshire, right? Live free or die, bitch!
I'm guessing the hooker that was blowing him said, if you get me out of here, this is free.
Yeah.
He's like, done.
Hold on!
And your next one is too.
Meanwhile, in prison news, DMX is out.
Yeah.
Roof, roof.
He is out. Hold on. I you know, I probably should have had this ready before, but yeah, I apologize for my lack of preparation in this situation. Yeah, here we go. A few lucky DMX fans working at a Maryland gas station were among the first people to see the rapper after he got out of prison. When they asked for a photo, he replied, X gonna give it to you. Folks at the Royal Farms in Frederick tell TMZ that DMX and his crew of about 20 pulled in Friday night around 7 p.m. to gas up and grab some goodies. Apparently, everyone immediately recognized him, and he was super friendly to the staff, agreeing to snap several pics before they took off. TMZ broke the story. DMX became a free man after he was released from federal prison in West Virginia. He completed a one-year sentence for tax evasion. He was first seen in a public post-prison with his son and fiancé grabbing breakfast at a local spot. As TMZ has reported before, the rapper's planning on dropping a new album and tackling some new movie projects in 2019, including a possible biopic. All right, let's bring it down.
He's a very underrated rapper.
You know, I think Deadpool is something that brought him back up into the forefront because that was featured very that song was featured very prominently in Deadpool. Yeah, I dig DMX. Not all of his stuff, of course. But
what was the movie he was in? Was Jet Li? Was that a movie? Right?
He was in Romeo Must Die, and then right. He did the movie off the Donald Goins book that I can't remember the name of right now. And then
Romeo Must Die was dope.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
But he was on that track with LL Cool J and Redman and Method Man that 1 2 3 4.
Yeah, yeah.
So the song was the big buzz on the song was because it was the beginning of Cannabis's and LL's feud, but DMX actually had the best rhyme on that record.
So he's out. So good for him. Looking forward to seeing
He's been writing for a year, man. He's going to have a bunch of shit to drop.
Indeed. Well, nothing brings out the good rap like West Virginia.
That's it.
Or prison.
It's true. So this story is really fucked up. I'm going to start by saying this. So Marty Jannetty is a former WWE wrestler. He was partners with the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. They were the Rockers. He fears he'll be remembered as the guy who wants to fuck his daughter after Facebook hackers posted a sick message on his page. So basically what happened was his Facebook page got hacked and somebody made a post, and we'll read that here. He's talking now about with the son about how his life was almost destroyed after they put the post on his Facebook page saying he wanted to have sex with his daughter. In his first interview since it went viral, Marty revealed how his daughter Bianca became reclusive while he was bombarded with abusive messages from people who thought the post was true. So he's pretty pissed because despite all that he's put into his wrestling career, that people are now going to remember as the guy who wanted to fuck his daughter. Now, if it were true, then yeah, but it's not. He has been at the center of a huge controversy after the post appeared on his Facebook page back in September, which told how he held out from having sex with his daughter. The post, which included a picture of Bianca, who is now 27, read, "Just did DNA test. She's not my daughter. We both held out of sex because you don't do that. But now we ain't." It went on to describe Bianca as effing hot, asking wrestling fans for their advice on whether it was okay if they now had sex.
Wow. What the fuck is wrong with people?
Right? Somebody hacked his Facebook page and put that on there. And of course, people see it and they're like, immediate, like, what the fuck? So, and we're the jump to the conclusion society. So he said, "I'm still getting bombarded with emails and messages about this, and fans at live events ask me questions about it." Well, of course they do. In fact, every damn buddy seems to have their own podcast now. Hey! And they want me to go on to talk about that disgusting post. You know what, Marty? Don't come on. It's fine.
Yeah, we don't need you to come on.
We don't need you. I still think it's fucked up. He said, "Of course I would never think anything like that. It's almost comical that I work my ass off so hard to make my name in wrestling, and through the years and years of blood, sweat, and tears, I did it. The barbershop window episode with Sean is legendary. It happened over 25 years ago, and people are still talking about it. Yet one fake BS story has risen right up there with that. It makes me mad because I wonder if in 25 years from now, they will still be saying that pervert wanted to fuck his daughter."
And they probably will.
I hope they somehow track down whoever did this.
It's like the motherfuckers that do the swatting.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, do you just don't have a life, so you just want to fuck somebody else's life up?
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get what joy or glee you get from fucking with Marty Jannetty.
I mean,
he's not on. It's not like Marty Jannetty's on top of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that incident happened 25 years ago, and yeah, people are still talking about it, but literally from that point forward, his career basically became less and less at the top of the card, so to speak. To say nothing of his daughter. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you people? It's a bullshit story. So if you've heard a story about a WWE wrestler posting on Facebook that he wanted to have sex with his daughter, it's bullshit. That's all I want to say. I don't want to talk to Marty Jannetty on the podcast about it. Because what's he going to do? Just get upset and swear about it, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine how angry I would be with something like that. It's just fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's just fucking awful.
Somebody's kid that you're... Oh, my God.
You're fucking with somebody's life and reputation, and for what? For what?
And the kid, too. I mean, like, how's the kid respond to that, right?
Yeah, and she's 27, but still.
Yeah.
Still. And even though he's really not in the public light ever... Anybody who was a wrestling fan at any point in the late 80s and early 90s knows who Marty Jannetty is.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's not like it's jumping Jim Brunzel. You know, him, he could slide under the radar.
Yeah.
Or be Brian Blair.
The Killer Bees, Jason.
I remember the Killer Bees.
Okay. Just making sure. So yeah, that was just kind of fucked up. So I titled that "What the Actual Fuck."
Yeah, what the actual
fuck. What the actual fuck. I think that's important. All right, let's go down to our favorite state that's shaped like a wang.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
This is Florida Corner Restaurant Edition.
Aw, yeah.
How many places could you do it where you had it specifically just for like, oh, this is this, but it's just restaurants?
What is it?
Florida woman danced naked outside Waffle House, licked employee's face. That's what deputies are saying.
I knew you were going to say the Waffle House.
A Florida woman is behind bars after deputies say she threatened an employee and danced naked outside the Pensacola Waffle House. According to the county sheriff's office, an employee at told Freedom Rider Zobrist, that's her name, Freedom Rider Zobrist, who's 38, to leave the restaurant Monday because she'd been causing trouble. She fled, but later returned, saying she wanted to get a gun and shoot the employee and everyone inside.
I don't have time to talk about it like that.
Right? The employee told deputies she then took off her pants, danced naked in the restaurant parking lot, and tried to grab his genitals. The employee said Zobris also licked his face and poked his chest. She was arrested on charges of indecent exposure, simple assault, battery, and disturbing the peace, being held on $5,000 bond.
Nice.
She wanted his wang.
Meanwhile, a Florida man smashed his wife in the face with a Taco Bell burrito, causing some to go up her nose, according to police. Investigators say that Victor Fosser, 49, got into a confrontation with his wife inside the couple's home. According to a police report, the 49-year-old victim was upset about a family matter and attempted to seek comfort from her husband. Instead, he went to the Taco Bell, picked up lunch. When he came back with his takeout order, Fosser attempted to give his wife a burrito, holding it in front of her face while making fun of her for being upset. The woman then grabbed the burrito and threw it on the floor. Fosser then picked up the rest of the burritos and smashed them into her face, causing some to go up her nose.
Bitch, you're gonna eat this burrito! Don't waste no $2.50 burrito, bitch!
The 6-foot-tall, 335-pound Parrish is currently being held in county jail on a misdemeanor battery count.
Wow. Like, he must have been really pissed she didn't eat that burrito. Like,
yeah, he held it right up in her face.
And then she threw it on the ground. He should just ate it himself.
He was like, I don't want to hear this shit, bitch. I'm going to go get me some food. He got back. She was still talking about it.
She just wanted a little solace, Kareem.
I'll tell you what happened. He's like, I am not. He's like, I done heard this shit too many times. I am not fucking dealing with this shit.
Yeah, he's like, he made the decision. He's like, I can go to the bar and get drunk. Or I can just get some Taco Bell and go home, and hopefully she's just done.
Yep. He got back, and she was still talking about it.
Should have gone to the bar, bro.
Now, none of this is okay.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just telling you what happened.
Let me clarify. None of this is okay.
No.
And I'm not about blaming the victim. But she got to know who her husband is.
Yes. I'm telling you exactly what happened. He's like, I am not. He's like, this is something that he's heard like a couple of times. He's like, leave that bitch alone and we don't have to deal with this shit. And she just wanted to talk about it. He's like, okay, I'm going to go get me some food. I'm not dealing with this shit.
All right, so we started at the restaurant. Then we went to the drive-thru, and now it's time to cook it up at home. Oh. A Florida woman is facing domestic battery charge after allegedly clobbering her boyfriend in the face with a frozen pork chop during a dispute Friday night in their residence.
What? They weren't planning on eating it that night if it was still frozen.
Cops allege that Jennifer Brassard, 48, and her beau were engaged in a verbal argument around 9:45 p.m. when Brassard threw a frozen pork chop at the victim. The pork chop
struck the man below the left eye, causing a half-inch laceration. After getting hit with the pork chop, the victim fled the couple's home. Police arrested Brassard after determining she was the primary aggressor during the domestic confrontation. Booked into county jail on a misdemeanor domestic battery charge. Released from custody after posting $250 bond. A judge has ordered her to have no contact with her boyfriend. The criminal complaint does not indicate whether the pork chop was seized as evidence. She looks like she's got a black eye, too.
She was smart enough to run out of the house after she hit him with the pork chop.
Well, no, he ran out of the house.
He ran out?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't want to get arrested for
domestic violence.
Exactly. Or to quote my downstairs neighbor, "Get away from me, Stacy. I'm not going to jail for you tonight." That's a quote. That's a 2:30 a.m. quote from the apartment below me in Plattsburgh, New York. I will never forget that. I don't remember his name, and I only remember hers because he said, "Get away from me, Stacy. I'm not going to jail for you tonight." And that is Florida Corner. Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Play that music tonight. All righty. So they're making a Sopranos prequel movie. I love the Sopranos.
I saw that.
And the young Tony Soprano, the young Tony Soprano will be played by Michael Gandolfini.
Young Tony Soprano.
Yeah. Young James Gandolfini's son got the role of young Tony Soprano. TMZ caught up with Vincent Pastore, who played, he played Big Pussy. I mean, I could say the character's name, but...
Everybody knows him as Big Pussy.
He played Big Pussy. And here's what he had to say about the whole situation.
Vaping is, like, safer than...
Oh, TMZ's got ads now. By the way, vaping's not safe. Not safe. Actually, we don't know. Yeah. But you're 4 times more likely to start smoking cigarettes if you vape. Truth.
How do you feel about Michael being cast as a young Tony Soprano in the movie?
I love Little Michael. Little Michael grew up. I saw him last 2 weeks ago at the event, the HBO event. I said, "How you doing, Michael?" He's on the deuce. He's been doing Law and Order. He says, "Well, I'm going to film school." And I said, "Why don't you come take some classes with me?" Next thing I know, the guy, he's got a major role in this movie, and he's playing his father when he was young. I think it's Jimmy's smiling in heaven.
It's very appropriate casting, very tasteful
casting.
Beautiful.
But they said he auditioned quite a few times. They didn't just hand it to him. I think it's great. It's great timing. It's 20-year anniversary with us, Sopranos, the original. It's bringing new life. Everybody's interested in the show. They just did reruns at HBO. They had a big party for us.
Speaking about people being cast as younger versions of characters from the show, Big Pussy, who's going to play Little Pussy in the movie, man?
Well, I heard that Roseanne, you know, from the Roseanne show, she's out of work. Okay. So maybe they'll call her in.
Okay. All right. If you had to pick a male to possibly play that character, who do you think it would be?
Richie. Richie wants to play... you can't play Little Pussy, can you?
Why not?
A male, Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, okay.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is too old.
Yeah. He is a good
Johnny
guy.
Depp is probably older now than Big Pussy was at the start of The Sopranos.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Just saying. 20 years ago. God.
That guy's like, he's just throwing shade at Roseanne. I don't know if his hand's out of work. I guess she could try giving it a shot.
They were outside this bodega in New York, and he's with this really skinny old dude that he referred to. He's like, "Why can't I play it?" He's wearing a Yankees hat and wire rim glasses. And he's got that hunched over skinny old New York guy look. You know
yeah.
the one I'm
yeah,
talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, he looks like a question mark from the side.
If you ask him something, he's going to kind of give you a shrug like,
"Why can't I? Yeah, why the fuck can't I?"
I wanted extra meat on my sandwich.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm going to do?
I paid for the double meat. Well, I remember when the servings were a lot more.
I think this guy was more Italian than Jewish, so he's going to be angrier.
Sorry. Hey, what's all this meat on my sandwich? What's this meat? Where's this meat? I ordered a sandwich from the bodega, all right? They gave me half the meat. I just ordered half full meat. What the fuck? Come on.
That's it. That's exactly it. Going to see Kiss tomorrow night.
What?
Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Farewell tour.
Well, say hello to Satan for me and his knights.
Where are they going to be at?
Golden One, baby.
Really?
Yep. I'm guessing there are still tickets available. Yeah.
There's a homeless guy that said, that actually had a bunch of tickets. Give tickets for donation.
How dare you? If you want to do the old Jewish guy, that's Kiss. That's really the impression of Kiss. If you want to get into, I don't know. Gene and I have been doing the band for 40 years now, and that's what it is. If you want an old New York Jew, that's those guys.
Was this Solomon's Deli? Is this it? The guy is a kosher?
I'm a little embarrassed that I used to watch Gene Simmons' Family Jewels because looking back in on it briefly, God, it was terrible.
So bad.
And I chose to watch that.
You chose to watch a lot of stuff.
It's true. The Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I came across a Facebook memory that where I had quoted Vinny from The Jersey Shore, and God damn it, that wisdom was still applicable today. I don't remember what it was, but it was still right.
Mm. Oh shit!
What, Vinny?
Yeah.
I don't know why I got a problem with Vinny from The Jersey Shore. Let me see if I can quickly find it here. It's not Placerville. Hey, were you either of you guys upset that Adam Levine was showing his man boobs?
I didn't even watch that shit.
Well, it was on.
No, I mean,
yeah, long ago I determined that the Super Bowl halftime show was not for me. It was not. I was not part of the target audience.
Well, this one was definitely for the ladies.
Yeah,
and some men. but the ladies.
Yeah. If you really want to watch terrible people, well, and there's some good people too. So on both sides. On Netflix, there's a show called Instant Hotel. Watch Instant Hotel.
All right.
There are some people that are, especially the first half of the series, that are amazing, really great people, and some that you're like, you're watching, you're like, well, they're kind of horrible. And then the second half, there are some other people, and you're like, oh no, they're horrible.
It takes place in Australia, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Your lady who does the organizing, she was on the Good Morning America second part today.
My lady who does the Marie Kondo. That's my wife's thing.
Yeah,
that's everybody's wife's thing. It's not just my wife's thing.
Or if you're my wife, I've been doing that longer than Maria Kondo's been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the story of my life.
Okay, before we get to small town news, I want to talk about this briefly. So I would not be baited into doing a warning crunch wrap on this weekend, but the White House released a statement saying that Trump's tan is the result of good genes.
Motherfucker, please. Was it orangutan jeans?
The official spoke the Times on the condition of anonymity, added that the president applies a dab of powder to his skin before making appearances on television, but the official said the powder is translucent and added it's not a bronzer.
Hey, they're right about that. It's not a bronzer. It's an oranger.
That runs contrary to claims by Trump's former aide Omarosa, from her tell-all book Unhinged, an insider's account to Trump's White House. She wrote the president used a tanning bed often and alleged an usher was terminated in the past for mishandling transport of the machine. Fire that man. He didn't get my tanning bed in the right spot. Former FBI director James Comey also suggested that Trump tanned in his book, A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership. So what do you make of this whole thing? The first reaction you have when you hear the president's complexion is because of good genes. Jason.
Racist.
Kareem.
What kind of genes?
I think eugenics. That's the first thing I think. It's like, gee, like, get the fuck out of here.
Here was my first thought was, wow, that sounds a lot like what the Nazis would say.
Yeah, that's yeah, exactly.
It's like, hey,
racist.
Wait a minute, why is the White House putting out? Are they recycling Nazi propaganda now? I mean, come on.
And why is the white guy who doesn't want brown people trying to be brown?
It's an age-old question, bro.
I don't know.
It's an age-old question. Why?
By the way, if you want a little bit of a comparison and a breakdown how Nazi Germany became Nazi Germany, in comparing it to our current times, also in Fahrenheit 11/9. Fascinating stuff. It's not just Michael Moore saying it. There are historians and other experts in the film talking about it. And it's things, as someone who has studied World War II quite a bit, I've seen the patterns too. So, that's it for that. I just wanted to get your reaction on, Trump's good genes. Someone on Twitter posted a picture of his parents next to each other, and his mom's hair looks like his if it was being turned into a cotton candy cone that goes up on the side. It's a crazy photo, but he has his mother's hair. There's absolutely no question about that.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to do everything he can to keep it.
all right, let's wrap it up.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
While we are away, the people of Plattsburgh, New York, get away from me, Stacy, had some complaints. So they wrote in to speak out, and the newspaper printed it. Thank you to all who keep their holiday outdoor lights up throughout the winter months. January and February can be glum for so many, and your lights keep the landscape more cheerful. See, they're not all complaints. I believe they meant gloomy, but okay. Hey, when interviewing someone who doesn't speak English, I think it'd be better to print the words spoken rather than translate talk over the person's voice. I'd rather read their words and hear their voice. It's better for those who speak the language. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fair. Article came out that income tax returns will be sent. I wasn't worried. But those complaining and worried are those who have children who get large returns. It's time to stop wasting money.
Oh.
Many give birth and it's paid by Medicaid. But the taxpayers then get a huge tax check back because of us taxpayers. If paid by Medicaid, the debt should be paid back from those big returns before sending out those checks. Our system sucks so many taxpayers dry. All you people having kids getting your big returns.
That's right, fuckers.
The next one's entitled Empathy. 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 I read the speak out about going into a restaurant that was not handicapped accessible. I had written too in the past about a local restaurant that is not at all accommodating to disabled. The fact comes down to owners and managers not having any companion or empathy for others and not following the law. Sad but true. It says companion.
Yes. It does.
I'm just reading it. Why? Just because you're a corrections officer, do you feel like you deserve a discount at a restaurant? You're not a police officer. You must show them your badge to get a break from a traffic violation committed. Give me a break.
You don't deserve it.
And the next one is titled Disagrees. Sorry. As a retired corrections officer with over 30 years in, I find it hard to believe you're complaining about a restaurant not giving you a discount on your food purchase for leisure. you were making anywhere from 70 to 90,000 without overtime. People working not getting paid, we don't feel sorry for you. So that's Speak Out for this week.
There we go.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to everybody who's been shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab or the Shop Target tab at NateDarlingShow.com. We appreciate all the listens. I want to remind you again, the Morning Crunchwrap podcast, every Monday through Friday. You can get it on NateDarlingShow.com. You can get it on Spotify, just like this show you can get on Spotify now. Please go ahead and subscribe to the Morning Crunchwrap podcast on its own feed. Give it a rating. Give it a review if you like.
Yeah.
Everything helps, and it is much appreciated. And also, if you like the Morning Crunchwrap podcast, go ahead and give it a follow on Facebook. All the links to the stories I talk about each day will be there, and some bonus stories. So there's always content going on there. It's just a way to find out a few different things you might not have known about.
Yeah.
You can get news from Facebook. But know who you're getting it from on Facebook.
Know your source.
Yes, your trusted source in news. The Morning Crunchwrap podcast. Alrighty, so KISS this weekend. Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you, Kareem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
And we will see you next time. Bye-bye. I'm a laid back, don't stop.